Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are continuing to examine the teaching of God the Holy Spirit through the pen of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 14 regarding Christian unity and Christian liberty. Two challenging subjects because generally they don't seem to go together. How to have unity, how to allow proper biblical Christian liberty is a challenging concept indeed, and yet Romans chapter 14 tells us how it can and should be done if we will have eyes to see and ears to hear. Now, we were working our way through three principles, and we've come to the third one, and I'm going to just simply state the first two and then take up the third one today. Three benefits of biblical Christian unity, and they are, number one, the cause of Christ benefits by encouraging diversity within the body of Christ. And I keep reminding you that we're talking about diversity in non-essential matters, not essential ones. Number two, the cause of Christ benefits by encouraging independent thinking among believers in regard to matters non-essential. And number three, the cause of Christ benefits from believers focusing attention on strategic matters rather than upon non-essential issues. Now, here's one of the big problems, and we're all prone to it, and that is to take some minor issue and to blow it up into a major one and to focus upon that which is relatively unimportant to the neglect of those things that are significantly important. And that's the problem. It is the neglect that happens toward those things which are truly important when we get sidetracked into those things which are not important. But the devil has a clever way of causing us to think that unimportant matters are very important. We all know the expression that he made a mountain out of a molehill. And we know what that means. It happens in all of life, but it happens very much in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It happens among Christians, making mountains out of molehills, but the problem is that most people who are making mountains out of molehills think their molehills are mountains. And they think it's their responsibility to convince everybody else of the same. This is a mountain. This is important. This is critical. This is the most critical issue of all. And the only way to figure out what really is important and is not is, surprise, 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 study the Bible. And we've got to keep going back to this basic concept, the Bible, no more, no less. We certainly don't take anything away from God's Word, but we don't add anything to it. We don't want to be Sadducees, we don't want to be Pharisees. And so, we've got to be careful that we are not adding things to God's Word and making mountains out of molehills by extending something that we find in God's Word several steps beyond what the Bible says. And that's always how it happens. It's not that people manufacture things out of thin air, not usually, but it is that they take something from the Bible that is true, is legitimate, is stated, and then say, because the Bible says this, then of course this is true, and add a couple of steps of logic and a few more observations, and pretty soon you have turned something which the Bible really does not speak about into something that you are convinced is absolute bottom line Bible truth that everybody's got to be convinced about. And so here we go again, dividing ourselves in the body of Christ, all among this camp and that camp, this group, that group, the ones who believe this, the ones who don't believe that, and over non-essential issues. Now, divisions over essential issues are honorable, but divisions over non-essential issues are shameful, and we better learn how to tell the difference. And so the principle is that the cause of Christ benefits from believers focusing attention on strategic matters rather than non-essential issues. We don't want to get sidetracked by issues that are not important. We don't want to waste our time defending and propagating issues that are of little or no significance in the light of eternity. And I suggested what I'm convinced is one of those issues on the broadcast yesterday, I'm sure to the consternation of many of you, and that is the Bible version debate. To some people, this is a very major issue. And I just simply want to say that you need to study carefully this issue because it is very easy to make this one of those mountains out of a molehill. And it is based upon misinformation. And I will simply say that if all you ever do is read material printed by one particular side of the debate, or all you ever do is hear arguments from one particular side of the debate, then you will never understand the debate. You'll never understand the issues. If you only hear one side, you'll never understand the other side. And that's the problem. I can remember years ago, when a fine Christian that lived in a far distant state from where I live contacted me in regard to the version debate and was very convinced of a strong position defending a particular version, which has a lot of heritage to it. There's no question it has been a wonderful English language version that God has used and blessed down through the years. But the position of many people is that this is the only acceptable version. And oh boy, the arguments that are brought to bear and the logic that is used is incredible at times. And this particular person, this Christian from another state, had read a very large book, I think something like 600 or 800 pages by a particular author who defends this position. I'm familiar with the author. I had not had time to read the whole book, but by the time this lady had contacted me, I have read several, I don't know how many books on this subject. I've lost track of how many, but a good many over the years, I assure you. And it took me a while, frankly, to sort through all of this. You hear these claims, those claims. But anyway, all I did was just take a relatively modest paperback book out of our book room at the church, written by a man who truly understands the issue, the issues involved, a book of maybe 100 pages or so, much smaller than the one that she had recently read, but one that just simply points out a few fallacies, a few flaws, a few gaps in logic in this particular position. I just sent it to this person without comment. Didn't hear from that person, and frankly didn't know how that particular book was received, but I remember having a conversation with this same person maybe 10 years later, and now she was talking about how foolish people are who defend this one version, one English version of the Bible, and how she is surprised that people who are otherwise well-educated and obviously are good readers and well-informed in many areas, how they can be so deceived in this one particular area. And I thought two things. Bingo, you did read the book I sent you and it helped you. It really makes a difference when you get an opportunity to read something from the other side, the other perspective. And I also thought, but you've forgotten that you used to defend the other position vigorously. And you were one of those people that you are now talking about as being so foolish. Well, that's the way it goes. Now, I've learned a long time ago that you can't learn two positions of an issue if you're only listening to people who take one side. And sometimes we think we can because we hear the person that we're listening to quoting the other side, telling us what the other side says, and then refuting it. And so we think we've heard both sides. But if you only hear what a proponent of side A is saying about the people who defend side B, then you really have not heard side B. You only think you have, but you have not. And until you take the time to investigate what proponents of side B themselves are saying, not what somebody else is saying they're saying, you really haven't heard the other side. You've only heard selected material, selected quotations. You haven't really heard the other side. So you've got to do that. And I wish it weren't so. I wish it weren't not necessary for Christians to have to wade through so many issues. Don't you wish we could just quit dealing with issues and lay them all aside and stop arguing? But of course, if the time comes that we do that, then we will be unprepared and unwilling to defend significant issues that need to be defended. If we just take the attitude, stop the wrangling, I'm tired of the arguing, I don't want to hear any more discussion about anything about which there are any differences, we become like the proverbial ostrich and we bury our head in the sand, and then real, significant attacks upon the Bible come rolling along, and we treat them as if they are non-essential issues, and truth will be swept away. So it is important that we sort these things out. I wish we didn't have to, but it really is important that we sort these things out. We can't ignore these issues. We can't even ignore minor non-essential issues totally, but we have to deal with them enough so that we can understand what is involved and can properly classify them. Is this a significant matter? Is it a genuine attack upon the Bible, upon biblical Christianity, upon the gospel, or is it a mountain being made out of a molehill? Is it really an illegitimate issue that is being made into a significant issue? Well, it takes some time to sort these things out. Sometimes it takes a lot of time. Sometimes you're going to have to do some reading. And, I mean, often you're going to have to do some reading. And if you only let one or two people or people from a particular group or fellowship decide these things for you, well, I trust my pastor, I trust my leaders. Well, that's good. You ought to trust your pastor. You ought to trust your leaders. If you can't trust them, you shouldn't be part of that church or part of that group if you don't think you can trust them at all. But even the most godly people who are very trustworthy in most areas can err in some areas. And so we're all going to have to do some thinking, some reading, and that takes us right back to what we said earlier, that the cause of Christ benefits by encouraging independent thinking among believers in matters not essential, and it even requires some independent thinking among believers to sort out what is essential and what is not essential. And I'm afraid many of us, when we get to the end of our Christian lives, are going to realize that we spend an awful lot of our time chasing rabbit trails, dealing with things that were very insignificant, and we wasted a lot of time that we could have been spending on things that were truly significant for the cause of Christ and for eternity. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.